This is the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Looking at the slate of games in the ACC, Joe, and
then you decided to have an in-depth conversation with your sons about Minecraft.
Yeah, actually, I did.
Basically.
Yeah. It's like, all right, boys, oh, you want to talk about streaming? All right. Because my older son's super into streaming Minecraft now, so he wants to work on graphics and, like, getting Twitter followers. I'm like, you ain't getting on Twitter, dude. Not yet. So the game that starts the day, there's a triple header on the ACC Network, and shout out to our friends at the ACC Network, but the triple header starts with North Carolina hosting Western Carolina. By the way, I'm on the ESPN website where I guess they have like a ticket broker. Tickets as low as $86. No, I'm good. I mean, the only reason why they're $86 is because there's only 4,000 people that can go. But the fact that there's a secondary market already? What? Okay, interesting. And then the second game in the ACC Network doubleheader is NC State hosting Georgia Tech, and then the nightcap is Duke hosting Miami. But if you look at the rest of the ACC slate, Notre Dame hosting Syracuse as they wrap up their season ahead of the ACC Championship game. Clemson on the road at Virginia Tech, a game that I expect Clemson to beat Virginia Tech. Boston College at Virginia. Suddenly, I'm looking at this going, could it be? That the most intriguing game is actually NC State, Georgia Tech? Is that possible?
Yeah, why not? The way that Georgia Tech played last week, put up 56 points. I know it was against Duke, but.
And NC State is on the verge of closing out a year that none of us expected.
And has anything been easy for NC State this year?
Absolutely not. So I don't expect.
The Florida State game. Florida State game was.
Okay, I guess that was relatively easy in the grand scheme of things. I know that if you go look at Giglio's card, a week 13 on the WREL Sports Fan website, I know you kind of alluded to the fact that whatever you've thought about NC State's season has gone the other way. You know, it's like anytime you think about something with this NC State squad, it just goes in the opposite direction. And that's probably why I'm looking at this game and thinking to myself, I mean, I kind of know what
they should win.
I kind of, I'm looking at this at the other slate, and I'm just like, I'm mostly intrigued to see if NC State can actually pull this thing in and have what will be, for record-keeping purposes, Giglio, as you already start rolling your eyes because you know what I'm about to say, an historic season for the Wolfpack.
I just hope you're listening at whatever time the last shot of Joe to go is.
Depends.
Yeah, it's true. You're here, but you're not always here.
Sometimes I'm not, no. Especially at that time. I'm packing up. You know, it is what it is. Yeah, but you're rolling your eyes at that. But NC State could, like, wrap up a season that nobody expected. And I think you and I can at least agree on this. Dave Doran will have pulled off the best job he's done here at NC State.
That's also kind of important in terms of bowl positioning. I know this is an unusual year. I know everybody is bowl eligible. But the ACC and their partners in the bowl games are still going to follow their normal protocols. So if NC State gets to 8-3, it would mean they would not be able to be jumped by any 6-win or less teams, Joe. Mm-hmm. That leaves them in a position where they could go back to the Gator Bowl, they could go to the Cheez-It Bowl, which is what we call the Orlando Bowl, the old Citrus Bowl. Not Citrus, but the Tangerine Bowl.
The Tangerine Bowl, yeah.
Or the Champs Sports Bowl.
Was that with two P's back in the day? The Champs Sports
I think
Bowl?
It was just
the restaurant, or was the Champs... Because there was a Champs restaurant with two
right,
P's.
Different.
And this was the Champs.
I think this was Champs
the sporting goods. Okay, I just wanted to double check.
But it's in play. Anyway, they put themselves in a position where they could go to Orlando, Jacksonville, or Charlotte. And that's where you want to be, especially in a wacky bowl season. They might just go by geography. They might just end up in Charlotte. But you get to 8. You're also putting yourself in a position to win 9 games. Go 9-3. Not bad.
Not a bad year. Not a bad year at all. Actually, we had gotten a question for Hey Joe, and we'll just go ahead and answer it here. The question was, you know, who do you want to see NC State play in a bowl game? This isn't where would they go, but given the choice, given the way the season's played out, who would you want to see in a bowl game if they even exist?
Oh, I would love for them to play in Charlotte against a Big Ten team. Remember, this year is the first year the Big Ten has a contract with Charlotte. So Iowa, a little NC State Iowa action. Pretty much anybody in the Big Ten is not going to care, right?
A little NC State Indiana, if you make that happen.
Well, with Indiana's quarterback hurt, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Indiana's pretty good. So Indiana's been pretty good. But yeah, it's just, look, I was just looking at the ACC slate this week, and I just don't really see any sort of weirdness going on. Like, between Syracuse-Notre Dame, do we expect Syracuse to surprise Notre Dame? No.
No, they poured it out last week. Or should we, are we anticipating Notre Dame to be as generous as NC State was last week with the kickoff return and the double fumbles and the interceptions?
This is a Notre Dame team that continues to show you that they don't necessarily beat themselves. They might be slow, they might be methodical, they'll choke you out with defense, but they're not exactly doing things to beat themselves. So I don't see that happening like what happened with NC State and Syracuse the previous week. Same with Clemson and Virginia Tech. I have a feeling between the loss to Notre Dame at Notre Dame, fired up Dabo because people are just over him and those types of things, that you're seeing the fully operational Death Star. Now, I know how that ends for the Death Star. You don't have to well actually me when it comes to Star Wars references. I'm simply pointing out that Clemson seems to be on the mission right now, and that's leading up to an ACC championship game. They want to leave no doubt, because if you're Clemson, you do find yourself in a position with the one loss to Notre Dame and a win over Notre Dame potentially in the ACC championship game. Could they be the number one team in the college football playoff if they pull that off? If they look really, really good against Virginia Tech, crush them, and they have a convincing win over Notre Dame in the ACC championship game, losing at Notre Dame without your quarterback shouldn't be held against you.
Normally, I would agree with you, except Alabama's going to have the opportunity to play Florida.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I was told by Greg Sankey all games will be played.
Well, about that.
And the committee should be paying attention.
Well, about that. Ole Miss, they paused their activities for the next 7 days. That's a problem. Probably not going to play next weekend. You also got Vanderbilt and Georgia. That's been called off for the weekend. They said they're going to reschedule it for December 19th. So the SEC is now finding itself in a scheduling crunch to get to all 14 teams playing 10 games. Who could have predicted this?
Also, why?
Because they said so.
Oh.
Because they said so. Because they said they're going to do it. Unlike the ACC, which is copping out.
Unlike the ACC.
Unlike the ACC that's doing these things to grease the wheels for Clemson and Notre Dame. We're going to play all of our games.
I read somewhere, Joe, the SEC was the only conference that's had two teams in the college football playoff in the same year. I read that somewhere.
So over the SEC.
I think that matters more.
I'm also over SEC fans, too, at this point in time. Like, actually, this guy...
Only claimed, now?
Well, I've been over them for a while. I've muted them. I've muted a lot of them on social media. But there was actually one guy, and this is just an example. I've tried to... One of my New Year's resolutions a couple years ago is not to get too wrapped up in what I see in my Twitter mentions, because really what you're dealing with is potentially bots or people who just have bad faith arguments. It's not real sentiment.
You mean Ben7842 with an egg emoji is not... That's not a real person
And don't forget the American flag in the hand,
telling
too.
Telling us that he's a follower of Jesus and he hates us? That's not a real thing?
It's not a real person.
Huh.
But like this guy Robert, he gets in my mentions, and because I had posted something about our conversation with Brownlow yesterday about Greg Sankey and everything else. Actually, there was a Facebook comment too from somebody who was upset. Like, that's such an infantile rant. You think Greg Sankey doesn't care what you think about him? He shouldn't be embarrassed. Well, that's cool.
I'm sure he doesn't. He's got no clue who we are.
Right, and I got no problems giving my opinion as to what I felt he said was wrong. In this particular case, it was funny how ACC people all of a sudden will accept Notre Dame as their own this year. ACC is Clemson and everyone else, period. Which is funny because you could say that about the SEC for a good chunk of time. It's Alabama and everybody else. Shout out to Georgia for getting up there as of late. But really, it's been Alabama and everybody else. Or what you see in the Big Ten, where they're selling themselves out just to make sure that Ohio State can somehow be eligible for the Big Ten championship game. You might not have picked up on this, but earlier in the week, Barry Alvarez, the athletic director at Wisconsin, said out loud with a straight face, "Well, we got to do what we got to do to get get Ohio State in the college football playoff." Well, why don't you just rename your conference then? It shouldn't be the Big Ten. It should be the Ohio State's conference at this point, because that's what you're doing. That's essentially what you're telling me. Everything else be damned.
It shouldn't be
we
the Big Ten
make sure.
Anyway. They've got 14.
Well, there's that too. There's that too. But here's
counting
the thing.
Counting is tough, Joe.
I feel like, and I had a conversation with somebody prominent at ESPN the other day about this particular thing, and I feel like it needs to be said. I don't think people get ACC fans. I really don't. They see SEC fans, and they think, well, that's the gold standard. Everybody roots for the conference. Let me fill people in on how ACC fans work. They don't give a damn about the conference. What we do care about in the ACC is being petty. We love petty. It's actually the one criticism I have against the ACC network. They have not tapped into what makes the ACC fun. A bunch of schools under the same umbrella that don't have a lot in common, especially in the expanded era of the ACC, but they share one thing and one thing only, pettiness. Okay? So here's what ACC fans are thinking. ACC fans are not going, yeah, Notre Dame, ACC, ACC. Hell no. ACC fans are going, oh, what's the most painful thing that can happen to Notre Dame in their one season in the ACC? Not one single ACC fan wants Notre Dame to win the ACC championship.
You can't let a team be in the league for 1 year.
Hell.
And walk off
no.
and drop the mic on you.
Absolutely
you can't
not.
Do that.
So in this particular case, there will be one rare moment where everybody
yes.
will get around
yes.
one team, and they're all looking at Dabo going, hey, Dabo, I know I've thrown some shade your way. I'd like you to shut up half the time. But, dude, you do whatever you need to do. Run it up on the Irish because we don't want them winning the ACC. That's how the ACC works. But, of course, the ACC always has the out. Okay, well, let's say Notre Dame does win or Notre Dame gets to go to the college football playoff to be a representative of the ACC. You know why we'll like it? Not because of conference pride, because we know it will annoy SEC fans. And if it annoys you, well, then we're all about it. And that's why the ACC is my conference. That's why they get me. I get them. Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is a podcast. Highly questionable is the show. I mean, the NBA definitely needed to kind of get back on correcting its calendar. They're going to start up here in a few days, have their Christmas Day slate and everything else. What is it, 72 games in a four-month span, and then with the playoffs and everything else? It makes sense why they're doing this and condensing it, because at some point things will get back to normal, and you do have to have a normal calendar, right?
Yeah, and you don't want to have the NBA Finals against the NFL.
Nope.
Right? Like, as much as anybody, you know, all the talk about the numbers and everything else within the playoffs, that's just not a time where people are accustomed to watching basketball. The sports, like, we reached a point of equilibrium with the sports calendar where everybody figured out what their own little spot was. And they need to get back to where their spot is. They got to do 72 games because that's what's required to satisfy the television contracts, as I understand it. And so they got to get this thing back on the road, man.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. One other NBA note, this week's been busy with contracts and with some deals. I guess the Lakers are officially back because they've got LeBron James for two more seasons. They've got Anthony Davis signed for the next five. I mean, maybe they want to run it back. But I thought that was interesting with all their ducks in a row in Lakerland. On the opposite end of the spectrum, the team they share the building with, for now, the Clippers continue to be a hot mess with reports about Kawhi Leonard essentially being a mercenary, Paul George not being happy with Doc Rivers. I just, Ty Lue's got his job cut out for him, man.
Well, I'd say to be fair to him, Doc ain't there. So that problem kind of takes care of itself. But the bigger problem, I think, is just Paul George being Paul George. like Paul George's argument was, you're using me like J.J. Redick, and the numbers don't bear this out at all, right? Like, one thing that's very interesting about NBA players, I remember when Dion Waiters got traded to Oklahoma City. I think he was in Cleveland before that. And he just went on and on about, like, yo, I get the ball. Like, they let me have the ball. And then he went and looked it up, and it was basically the same as it was when he was with the Cavs. Like, it really wasn't that different. Just in his mind, he thought it was something different. And that's Paul George, I guess, talking about the way that they used him. But I think Kawhi Leonard is going to have to figure this part out. Just because you can do whatever you want doesn't mean that you should do whatever you want. And what seems to be worrisome about him and Paul George is they want all the perks but none of the responsibility. And there is a responsibility that comes from being the dude out front. And they're trying to skip out on that part of it. Well, somebody has to take that responsibility. But the problem is that person who has to take that responsibility He's the one showing up to practice on time, and now you're waiting 15 minutes for Kawhi to show up. Mm-hmm. Talking about because he live in San Diego. He knew where San Diego – he from around there. He knew how far it was from San Diego to L.A. when he got that job, right? And even if he didn't know, every day he could put it in the app. What traffic looking like? Okay, I guess I need to leave early. Like, that's what you got to do if you decide you're going to do those things.
But Monty Jones, ESPN, joining us here on the OG. And Bo, did you grow up a Rockets fan?
No.
What do you think of what they've done with bringing all of, like, Raleigh High School
Raleigh
players?
Rockets.
The Raleigh Rockets.
Hold on, who else? Okay, because we got PJ, right? PJ with
Lowe.
John Wall, he made the tour.
Right. And Chris Clemens is from Millbrook, who was...
Who?
Chris Clemens is the kid from Campbell, the shorter
shooting
guard.
You, at some point, I know you brought up Campbell and the amount of points that guy was putting up.
I mean, I know Campbell, but like, guys, you got to understand, man, we don't really be talking about the fighting camels outside in the state of North Carolina. Like, y'all asking,
hey, Lavelle Moten's tweeting it. Come on, we all know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'll go look him up. I'll go check out what's going on with that dude. So the problem that the Rockets, not even the problem, it's just like, so when are you going to trade James Harden? Because they have to, and you're never going to convince me that it doesn't matter to me physically where John Wall is. John Wall and James Harden do not fit next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Period. There's just like basketball wise, I don't see how you do it. Now I asked somebody who's, you know, pretty connected in the league about what they thought about Wall going there, and the response was, "Can't nobody play with James."
Yeah.
And that's where I wonder what it's going to be like when we start talking about teams that want to trade for James Harden. What is your setup where it's worth it for you to bring James Harden on, but those guys that are already there actually want to play with James Harden?
Do the Nets, you want to add to the circus?
If you listen to what Kevin Durant had to say about this, it sounds like he knows better than to do this.
Okay, all right, just double checking, because I know
Kyrie Irving just came out here and said that he ain't doing no interviews.
Right,
year.
I saw that.
Well, there.
He's going to let the work on the court do the talking for him.
Yo, and that, again, with being the star comes a measure of responsibility that you have to take.
Yes.
And these guys don't want the hard part.
No. It's unfortunate.
You really think Kyrie could stay out of the spotlight for 8 seconds? I don't.
Oh, I'm sure he'll do notes apps or something like that. Screen
grabs. Yeah, he'll find a way to stay in the spotlight.
Yeah.
But it'll just, well, I mean, the NBA is going to shut this down.
Has to.
Like, this isn't an option. This is a violation of the agreement that they have, basically. Like, you can't. That is, I'm not one of these people that puts on the cape for the media, but you're making it impossible for them to do their jobs.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is the podcast. Highly Questionable is the show. So we are dealing with a college football. They're trying to bring this bad boy home, okay? The ACC this week, I think, did the right thing by saying, look, let's just avoid any sort of disasters. Let's wrap this up for Notre Dame. Let's wrap this up for Clemson and get to the ACC championship game. Meanwhile, the Big Ten is finding itself in a really weird spot where you got another AD at another school saying, you know what? We should bend our rules. We should change our rules to make sure that Ohio State can participate in our Big Ten championship game, even though they wouldn't qualify for it. And then Greg Sankey, who was mad at the ACC, the SEC commissioner, was mad at the ACC for what they did. Now they're dealing with another round of potential scheduling crunch. This is just yet another example where the Power Five commissioners can say all they want about working together and blah, 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 blah. The knives have come out with all sorts of talking points and who wants to finish what and who has competitive advantages. This is just the mess that we've seen.
2020 is all about giving the game away, right?
Yep.
Like that, I could not believe that Barry Alvarez just gave the game away like he did. When he was like, well, we just got to figure out a way to get Ohio State in here.
I mean, at this point, rename the Big Ten to just the Ohio State Conference at this point, because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I was stunned that he, like, it wasn't like it was Gene Smith who said it, right? I was blown away that he was willing to do that. Yeah, they do just need to figure out how to bring this home. And by the way, this would be so much easier if they didn't have this contrived playoff that y'all begged for in all this time. If they were just going with the bowl game wrap, then everybody could figure this out. Like, let me ask this question about the playoff.
No. Wait a second.
No. Let me ask this question about
like
the playoff.
You don't like the playoff? You like the bowl games?
Here's my question for you. Has the playoff really improved college football? Like, has it made college football more entertaining? I don't think it has. It, like, what it was before was good enough. I understand that people didn't think that this was so smart, and you know, it had all kinds of illogical things associated with it, but that's how college football gets down. That's the whole charm of this, is the fact that it's illogical. Well, so adding this playoff may have quote unquote giving you a legitimate champion. I don't give a damn about a legitimate champion. And if they just had regular old bowl games to fill out, all of this would take care of itself and people wouldn't have to do all this lying and all this contrived stuff to try to make their playoff happen.
I think there are two things that are happening with college football. Bomani Jones joining us from ESPN. Right Time is a podcast. Highly Questionable is the show.
But without a playoff,
yeah,
Clemson and Alabama, Clemson, the ACC champion, would play in the Orange Bowl. Alabama would play in the Sugar Bowl. They would never play.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
There's two. Here's the thing. Here's where I'm not okay
with
that.
But that's not what makes college football better, when the two best teams play each other.
Well, there's two different kinds of college football now, though. That's the thing. There's the college football that Bomani just...
His point, though, was, has the playoff made college football better? The two best teams playing each other, it doesn't matter how legitimate the champion is.
How long was it before people got tired of watching Alabama and Clemson play each other?
I'm not saying they haven't. I'm not saying they haven't, but the two best teams should play each other.
My argument is...
But hold on. But the playoff is a four-team playoff,
right,
which does not make it more likely that the best two teams are going to play each other.
What it's done is it's created an opportunity for college football to become national. It has streamlined
college football. It was a terrible decision.
Okay, now, whether it's a terrible decision or not is open for debate. What I'm saying is it made college football a much easier-to-market national product and took it out of the regional nature of it. So now you have a streamlined 10 teams that you have to pay attention to and can bring on as a national topic on the variety of shows, and that's its own separate category. And then there's the other college football that you're talking about that allows people like Spencer Hall and that whole ecosystem of college football people to thrive with the weirdness of college football, all the stuff that we like about college football. So I think it's serving two things at once.
Yeah, here's where I disagree with you on that. I think your point is, like, theoretically largely true. Like, okay. I don't think you said anything that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But as a person who does these shows that you're talking about,
yeah,
college football doesn't come up. It takes so much for a college football topic to crack the rundown on a national show. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because the interest in college football is primarily regional.
Yes. Yes. And it will remain regional for a very long time.
Like, think about this. Let me put it to you like this. And this is what I think gets lost. Unless you got like a 1-2 matchup or something like that, college football can't do anything to crack a Monday rundown on a television show during the fall.
Only the only case is when you've got like a Trevor Lawrence or a Joe Burrow and it becomes an NFL topic.
Yeah, but even then, yeah, that's probably going to wind up at the bottom of the show. Mm. It takes so much for a college football topic to crack a rundown in the time of the NFL. Just the nature of how we program things out during the week, because nothing's going to come up for you to talk about with college football really on a Wednesday. If it's a weak NFL slate on a Friday going in advance of a big game, then maybe somebody's going to wind up talking about that. But like when you talk about there's like 10 teams that you have to pay attention to, at this point, it's really three.
Bomani Jones, ESPN, Right Time is a podcast, Highly Questionable is the show. Before we say goodbye, we were reintroduced to Shaka Smart, head coach at Texas, in their game against North Carolina in the Maui Invitational Championship game. Sorry for North Carolina, a Roy Williams team that loses the Maui Invitational as the Carolina coach. They don't go on to win the title, but it's 2020. Strange things have happened. Did you know Shaka Smart had hair?
Yes, I did, because you think he me. Like, I when he first started growing his hair, everybody wanted to point to me because, you know, I had grown my hair. And it's like, oh, look at Shaka Smart. He used to look like my buddy Nick Wright. Now you think he me.
But Nick Wright also has hair.
He does have hair now, which told people things about him that they did not know.
So what is going on here? Was it Buzz Williams when he was a head coach at Virginia Tech? He grew out hair.
Yeah, well, Nick grew out hair because his wife wanted him to grow out his hair. She likes it, right? Okay. And so he went ahead and wrote it out. I just started this during quarantine because I didn't think it would, you know, 9 months later, we'd still be over here. And so I wrote it out, and I guess maybe that's what Shaka Smart did. I'm confused, though, like looking at Shaka Smart, like I needed to do it. I mean, to cut my hair, because my hairline just doesn't really behave right. I needed to grow months worth of hair to distract you from where the hairline is, and even that don't work with half of y'all. Shaka Smart looked like he didn't even have to go the route that he wound up going, and I don't really understand why.
Is it just ease? It's like, just shave it, don't worry about it?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's probably it. Because let me tell you what Shaka Smart is. He is a man that dresses like he doesn't make as much money as he does.
Yeah, we all know people like that.
Yeah, yeah. I ain't really got a whole lot of respect for that, though.
Yeah, that's true. You dress in a way where you're wearing a hoodie, but I know that hoodie's not one I can afford.
Well, I'm still, like, on my regular, like, on-the-street situation, right? Like, I still wear, like, by and large, like, regular hoodie stuff. I got my first hoodie that other people can't afford the other day, and I got to say, probably going to stay in this lane forever, right?
Okay, but so help me out here. What are you getting out of a $100 or more hoodie that I can't get out of a $50 hoodie?
It is a much nicer quality of fabric. It feels a little bit better on your skin. It's also typically going to wind up being a bit sturdier. And the other part that happens in part here, right? I guess a lot of these people just have expensive taste, but like, I don't really have expensive taste like that. What else am I spending this money on? You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got no kids.
You can get high quality audio equipment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know how much
you spent on a needle.
Yeah, yeah, but there's still money left. You know what I'm saying? Like, now that I'm out of the shoe buying game, at least for a little while.
Oh, you quit? What happened?
I don't go anywhere.
That's true. I guess you don't have to wear them, right?
I don't think I bought a pair of shoes in like 9 months. I've also reached a point where they be sending me shoes. I got some of the Hasan Minhaj, Cole Hans over here.
Okay. All right. I see how it is.
Was that a flex? Is that a flex, guys? Some of y'all go back to like 2007 with me. I thought y'all wouldn't be happy for me. You know what I'm saying?
We're very happy for you, but mind that you're getting shoes sent to you now. Good for you.
That's right.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Hater.
Let's drop some truth bombs.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, the week's come to a close. We've had a lot of takes, but sometimes they go in one ear and out the other, so we take it up a notch. I yell. We got the flex bomb. Drop it. And we've got silver monoliths appearing in random remote locations in the West. What could they be? Aliens? Nah. Come on. You think aliens want to visit this planet in 2020? Aliens are going to be like, y'all live like this? Serious. What are those monoliths? I've spent too much time this week thinking about them. And since I'm the cynical sort, initially, I thought it was a marketing campaign for HBO Max or something. But then it hit me. I have not been cynical enough. Clearly, those monoliths represent SEC football, the single massive rock of college football.
Truth Ball.
The rest of us? Man, it's like 2001, A Space Odyssey. We are but simple cavemen who did not understand the greater meaning of this game until the SEC traveled billions of light years from the deepest parts of Birmingham to trigger our sports fan evolution. But Joe, aren't you laying it on a little thick, buddy? Am I? Hey, look. It's not like I'm the SEC commish who recently broke off a call to CBS Sports because he was in his feelings that the ACC might fluke their way into having two teams in the college football playoff. Seriously, this is a fluke. We are in a pandemic. Notre Dame isn't really a member of the ACC when it comes to football. And we got Greg Sankey, the SEC commish, in his feelings.
Truth Ball.
See, the way he sees it, it's really important to have his talking point. He likes to spin his yarns. He has his little go-to lines that really wins over SEC fans at parties. It's the only conference to have their two teams in an old BCS championship. They're the only conference to have two teams in the college football playoff, which at this point is the equivalent of Jonathan Rand bragging to his friends that he was grinding his way to getting Baby Yoda in Fortnite. Like, cool?
It's hard.
Cool? Only thing lamer than Sankey whining is Joe Giglio bringing ringers to win a listener golf tournament. I take that back. I've actually found something lamer that Giglio does. He writes down things that I say frequently on the show And he's trying to like bingo card that. That's pretty lame, dude. I'm not sure when I roll my eyes harder. When Greg Sankey waxes on about how many teams they've got in the college football playoff, or when Adam Gold tells me that story about Larry King again. Seriously. I've heard this one. Sankey out here wanting credit for things that ultimately nobody cares about. Kind of like Josh Goodson on Sports Channel 8.
Truth Ball.
Joining us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline, it's Devin Daniels, senior guard from NC State. Wolfpack off to a 3-0 start this season. He is their leading scorer. They face UConn on Saturday at noon, a game you can listen to on Mix 101.5. Devin, first of all, how is lovely Connecticut during this start of the basketball season? I guess they're calling it Bubbleville up there in the Mohegan Sun, right?
Yeah, Bubbleville. You know, it's definitely a different experience for everyone involved. You know, we've never been through something like this in our life, but at the end of the day, it's given us a chance to play basketball, a game we love, a game we're, you know, passionate for. So we're just grateful to be here.
You're Devin Daniels, NC State guard, joining us here on the OG. And you're old enough, Devin, to actually partake in gambling activities in a casino, a card game, a roulette. But you can't even do that in the bubble, can you? You're not allowed to do anything, are you?
Hey, we are confined to our room. The only time we really come out of our room is as a group when we're going down to get some food or go to the court to shoot around or something like that. But, you know, there's a security guard on each floor, so it's not too much, you know, walking around.
Wow. I would not have guessed. I would have figured in the bubble you'd be at least allowed to, you know, wander a smidge. But that's not how we'll get these games pulled off, and I know that's what you guys really want.
Right.
It's just the opportunity to play games. Devin Daniels, NC State senior guard, joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. I am Joe Giglio. And, Devin, you guys are off to a fast start. You're 3-0 on the season, coming off a win over UMass Lowell yesterday. Why do you think the team has been able to come together quickly at the start of the season and really handle your business in your first three games?
You know, I think it starts on the defensive side for us. You know, when we can come out the gate, you know, pressuring teams, getting them out their own offense, out their sets, you know, running the amount of time they have on the shot clock down, you know, I think that really worked well for us. You know, we still have to improve in the rebounding area. But, you know, once we get that part cleaned up and we keep on improving in our defense, you know, our offense will come along well. And, you know, we're just going to keep on, you know, improving as a group.
Devin Daniels, NC State guard, joining us here on the OG. I'm Joe Giglio. Joe Ovius is here as well. And, Devin, for one thing I like to say about Kevin Keats, he has told us that he likes this group. And part of it is you, Braxton, Manny, DJ, you're all veterans who he knows what he can expect out of. But then he has these younger players, Cam Hayes, Shaq Moore, Darian Sebron, who I feel like this is a chance for you guys to be leaders and help them along. What have you kind of seen out of Cam and Shaq in particular where you've tried to show them, hey, man, maybe these are some things you learned earlier in your career and are now trying to pass down to them?
You know, definitely. You know, when freshmen come in, you know, especially freshman guards, you know, both of those are point guards, you know, the coaches are expecting them like a lot for them, and they're getting thrown like a lot of new calls, a lot of communication keys, you know, so they have a lot coming at them, you know, with the defensive scheme and all that. So, you know, I just try to help them through that because, you know, as a freshman, it can be a lot. And, you know, you have expectations come in as a freshman. So, you know, I just try to tell them, you know, take it day by day, you know, grow in the moment, try to improve. But, you know, never, you know, feel like, you know, pressure to play a certain way. You know, you're going to have your bumps and bruises as a young guy. But both of those players, Shaq and Cam, you know, they both have poise. They both have a great game and pace. They love to compete, and they bring a lot of value to our team.
Devin Daniels, NC State guard, joining us here on the OG. And obviously it's an unusual season, right? I mean, I feel like the athletes are the only ones on campus right now. You're living in your own little bubble, you know, on campus, never mind this tournament up in Connecticut. But I feel like Kevin Keats, your coach, has maybe, I don't want to say softened because that's not the right word, but do you feel like he has, how would you describe how he is now with your third year with Kevin and obviously a new group this year too?
Shoot, Coach Keith, I can say one thing. He has grown in the area of the amount of suicides we run in practice.
So no, more running, so not softer, not softer.
No. He has grown, as I mean, he's pulled back a little.
Oh, okay. You know, yeah.
Like, you know, when I first got here, like, let's say we were playing the game to 11. If we won, if a team won against the scout team, let's say like 11 to 2, that's 9 suicides under like 40 seconds. Which is, you know, it's not impossible, but it's just, you feel me, that's just like a lot of suicide. So you know, he's pulled back from that like a little bit, you know, and we're less of a track team. But, you know, Keith is just, he's a lot more patient. You know, this is the first year, you know, we've had like a deep freshman class like this. You know, usually we have like 3 or 4 grad transfers come in. You know, they know the game, they know the role. You know, this year he's just kind of taking his time, taking a step back. You know, and he's just bringing along the freshmen and this team with like a lot more patience.
Devin Daniels is NC State's leading scorer. The Wolfpack face UConn on Saturday at noon. Joining us here on the OG, and just a few more questions here for you, Devin, because I just feel like you guys as a group have to be thinking to yourselves, have you looked around the rest of the ACC yet? Have you been keeping up with basketball, or are you so focused on the next game that you really only have NC State vision? Because I imagine in a bubble, you're probably in a hotel room watching some basketball, right?
Yeah, you know, me personally, I like to just, you know, focus on what I can control. You know, yeah. I can't control how other teams are playing. But, you know, like a lot of our coaches and other players, you know, really get into the whole, you know, college basketball and what's going around the nation. So, you know, I can't really answer too much about what's going on in the ACC, but I know as a team, I know we're improving, you know, every day in practice and every game we're growing. So.
Let me put it to you this way then, Devin. And Devin Daniels, NC State guard, joining us here on the OG. I feel like the way you guys were playing last March and to have the tournament end in Greensboro the way that it did without a chance to finish it, to have no NCAA tournament, I'm sure between you, DJ, and Braxton, you're sitting here thinking to yourself, and Jericho, you're sitting here thinking to yourselves, we didn't get a chance last year to prove what we were. I'm sure that's part of your motivation this year.
Right, for sure. You know, going along with that, you know, we all realize like the game of basketball can get taken away from us.
Right.
You know, like at any point, especially what's going on, you know, like around the world and around the society. So, you know, all of us, I think being vets and experiencing how it went down last year in the ACC tournament, you know, we're just taking it game by game, being grateful. You know, and you know, leaving it all on the court. So,
Devin Daniels, NC State guard, joining us here on the OG. All right, Devin, before I let you leave, well, two things. Number one, how's your mom Tiffany doing? Because your dad's the Marine, right?
Yeah.
And law enforcement, but I feel like your mom's the tough one. She's the one I don't want to mess with.
Yeah, you know, my parents are doing well. You know, my mom's very, you know. She holds the family together. Mm-hmm. You know, she puts so much on her shoulders. So she's always checking on me. You know, this is the first year where I've kind of, you know, weaned away from her and started being more of an adult. And she can, barely handle that. You know, she likes to be a little baby. But, you know, right. she holds the family down. You know, my family's doing well. And I appreciate you for asking.
Good. Yeah. And one last one here for you, man. What inspiration can you get from Kyle Kuzma and the Lakers and how they were able to handle their business in a bubble? And also, what was your first text to him, your former teammate in Utah?
Yeah, you know, Kuz has been like a older brother to me. You know, I was out in Los Angeles, you know, working out with him this year before they went back to the bubble. Mm-hmm. You know, and just seeing them accomplish their goals, you know, staying locked in as a team, you know. Because, you know, nobody in the NBA bubble experienced, you know, anything like that before, just like us. And, you know, they stuck to their goal. You know, no matter what came their way, you know, they were prepared and they handled their business. So
you'll have to ask him if you can hold his ring, too, the next time you see him, right?
Jeez, put it on my pinky or something, man.
Devin Daniels, NC State senior guard, appreciate you taking the time, man, and best of luck against UConn on Saturday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
It's time to play You're Full of Shit, Giglio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Giglio is definitely full of shit. And I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yes, Giglio has some fun facts, or does he? We got two contestants to call it out. We got Matt and Garner. Matt, what's up?
Hey, guys.
You got big Friday night plans, Matt?
I have small children, so I just hope I get enough sleep tonight.
Are they of like you have to watch Frozen 2 again age range?
3-year-old and 15 months, so he's in the middle of teething, so he's waking up in the middle of the night.
Oh, dude. Oh, boy. I feel for you, man. I feel for you. Hugh in Holly Springs. Hugh, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, man. What you got planned on a Friday night?
Hang out. We're going to watch Mulan, me and the family.
Oh wait. The live-action one or the animated one?
Live-action. It's off the premiere now.
So okay. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll watch that tonight after Mandalorian, because no spoilers. I haven't watched today's episode yet. All right, so Giglio's got some fun facts. Or does he? Some of it's true. Some of it's made up. If you think he made it up, shout out your name, and Nora will do the rest.
You're full of Giglio.
If you're right and he made it up, you win. But if you're wrong and it's true, you are out of the game and you've ceded victory. Let's go.
All right, guys. Duke was once known as Normal College. Apparently, you know your Duke history. That is true. NC State was originally called the North Carolina College of Agricultural and Mechanic Arts.
Hugh, Matt.
Hugh.
You're full of shit, Giglio.
Hugh. That was the first name for NC State. I would feel bad for you, but Matt was talking about somebody teething. So, Matt, enjoy your $20 gift card to the original Flying Burrito and find your peace where you can, my friend and Garner.
Good looking out, guys.
Yeah.
It's time for a rant to
acapella the news. What you got cooked up? What you got cooked up today, man?
Big night last night. NC State women take down number one South Carolina. And I wondered, you know, there are lots of other things happening last night. We're doing some Christmas shopping. You know, you've got things to do. It's a pandemic. Just kidding. You have nothing to do. I wonder if the message didn't get to people what it was like. Yeah. Finishing off 80s weeks strong.
I come home in the morning light. My brother says you'll never guess what happened tonight. Oh, brother dear, while you were out having fun, our girls took down number one. Our girls took down number one. The phone rings in the middle of the night. Book or again stepped out just to get a quick bite. Old Boo thought that today's good news was done. Our girls took down number one. Our girls took down number. Oh, how about this run? It's just begun. Everyone else might be stunned, but our girls took down number one. Our girls took down number one.
Well done, Rand.
Big
well
day.
Done. That was a big day for NC State and the women's basketball program.
NC State has had a remarkable football season in many ways. Just getting to play 11 games is an accomplishment unto itself. That Dave Doran might win 70% of his ACC games after winning 37% of his ACC games in his first seven seasons is as notable as it is unexpected. NC State has put itself in position to win 9 games for the third time in Doran's tenure and play in a respectable bowl game. I wouldn't be surprised if Doran wins the ACC Coach of the Year award. These are all things that should be celebrated, especially after a lousy 2019. As usual, it's up to me to be the bad guy and point out what shouldn't be celebrated. Bragging about being the, quote, the first team in school history to win 7 ACC games without any context is disingenuous. You're the first team in school history to play 10 ACC games. Are you suggesting the unbeaten, untied NC State team in 1973, the only one in school history to do so, couldn't have won 7 games? They only played 6. Don't confuse most with the best. Let me put it this way. In 1983, NC State won 8 ACC basketball games. Last year's team won 10. Which one was better? That is your shot of Joe to go. Please understand it and don't throw it away.
I am not throwing away my shot.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio Show Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. And you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app. Or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.